Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Hazreti Mevlana Reşid Ahmet Gangoi Sahib Rahmetullahi Aleyh. Just to speak about Hazreti Şeyhul Hind Rahmetullahi Aleyh. Ki ye to ilm ke gudli hai. He is an embodiment of knowledge. And Mawlana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah used to say that when they say Hazrat Shaykhul Hind, then this is not a praise, it's a disgrace to him. Because in reality they needed to say Shaykhul Alam. Was so great, Shaykhul Alam, not Shaykhul Hind. But they don't realize that this is what they are doing. Once some wealthy Nawab had to come to Gango, but Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullah Alayhi was also around because he was beard to Gangoi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. So he did the little bit of khidmat what was needed, and then he tried to sneak away because he felt that his dressing, his attire was not in keeping with that standard. And when he's not in keeping with the standard of the Nawab, the wealthy person, then the wealthy person may feel awkward with him being around. As he just sneaked away, Mawlana Gangoi Sahib Rahmatullah by now had lost his sight. So he asked, where is Mawli Mahmudul Hasan Sahib? So he asked perhaps for the second time, and then he understood perhaps what was going on. So he of his own said, अगर इन नवाब साहब को आपके साथ खाना नागवारा हो तो वो अपने खाने का इंतज़ाम अलग कर लें, बाकी हमारा तुम्हारा साथ तो मरने जीने का है. इफ दिस नवाब फील्स ऑकवर्ड सिटिंग विद यू एंड ईटिंग देन ही कैन मेक हिज ओन अरेंजमेंट्स, ही कैन मेक सेपरेट अरेंजमेंट्स. But my relationship with you is with life and death. In other words, we are together in life and together in death. You are not separable. So how happy he must have felt at that time that this is my elder and this is what he thinks of me. So once they were there, Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullah was there, by Mazar-e-Qasimi. Mazar-e-Qasimi is Qabristan. Where Qasim Nanak Sahib Rahmatullah is buried. So someone suggested to him that this would be the ideal place for you to be buried. See, your Ustad, Qasim Sahib Rahmatullah, he was the first person that was like a mentor, a guide, and the person that you had looked up to. So if in the event you pass away, then this will be the best place for you to be buried. So he says, I don't know what you people are talking about. This is the Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullah Alayh. I showed you the background, the knowledge, etc. He said, I wish that my body be broken and cut up to pieces. And one piece of my body is in one part of the world, other part of the world, third part, fourth part. My whole body is just broken down like that. In other words, I strive in the path of Allah Ta'ala, and one part of the world, perhaps my one leg is gone. Another part of the world, my hand is amputated and cut off. Another part, my other hand is gone. So This is what I would like. I'm showing you these people's reasoning. What was their type of thinking? And this is so close to the hadith. لَوَدِدْتُ أَنْ أُقْتَلَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ أُحْيَى ثُمَّ أُقْتَلَ ثُمَّ أُحْيَى ثُمَّ أُقْتَلَ. Why I say it's so close to that hadith? Because there is a request for repeated death here. I be killed in the path of Allah Ta'ala, right? And obviously death cannot be repeated. But what can be repeated is, you lost one limb in one part, another limb in another part of the world, another limb in the third part of the world. That can, there's a repetition, there's a possibility for that to be repeated. But for death to be repeated can't happen. So you see their thinking, their reasoning, how it went. And I find a lot of safety, a lot of security in that reasoning. Even our reasoning must be like their reasoning. Because they're so close to the Sunnah. Sometimes they don't say that this is the Hadith, but it would boil down that it is the closest interpretation to the Hadith. That is why Mona Zafar Ahmad Usmani Sahib, Rahmatullahi's son, was being sent to some place in Gujarat, I can't remember the place now, Port Bandar, I think it was. It was being sent there. And Hazrat Mawla Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah was giving the last advices. So in the last advices, he mentioned that in every respect, look at your elders. Their ways, their mannerisms, their thinking, their understanding, their practice, in everything, their speech, even their clothing, what type of topi, what type of kurta, what type of trouser, look at everything. And he says that I find a lot of safety and security in that. Whatever was done by them, and you just conform to that, and there's a lot of protection, a lot of security, a lot of safety in that. For one, look at the Darse Nizami, right? That is like an international style of teaching or international curriculum that came from Deoband, right? So this was like an international curriculum. Now, wherever there is a madrasa that is running and continuing and showing results and products, right, then it is a madrasa that is in conformity with the Darse Nizami, that same curriculum. Be it in Australia, America, Canada, London, anywhere, but there is a style of teaching, and the style of teaching is proving to be successful, showing products and results, then it is a style of teaching that came and started off from here. So there must be something in this. Something in this. Other people started other things that may have been looking more exciting and more striking, right? But that didn't last. It didn't last. This thing yet continued. So as though the divine protection is with it, Allah Pak's protection and hifazat is with it. Then you look at the Shaykh Ulin Hind Rahmatullah again and look at the students that Allah Ta'ala had blessed him with. Every student was like a revivalist and a head of a certain science. You couldn't find a person that was equal to him in that respect. If you look at jihad and, you know, instilling and renewing the spirit of jihad, then you can't find a person like Hazrat Shaykh al-Islam, one Hussain Ahmad Madani Sahib Rahmatullahi, the type of vigor, the type of spirit, the type of boldness, the type of strength, couldn't find a person. Person will see him, he doesn't know whether this man is a farishta or a jinnat, what type of power he had. He's coming in, imagine we came in, right? And then ready Shah Taravi and then we'll sleep straight, right? He's coming in by ship, right? The ship is docking at Lahore, not Lahore, Karachi. And from Karachi, is coming in by train, right to Deoband, right? That time, that zamana, that conditions. And then reaching Deoband at about 10, 12 o'clock, right? And then you'll go home, just dress up nicely, and then straight away coming to teach at that time. You see that level. Teaching not a small kitab like Sarf and Nahu or something, teaching Bukhari Sharif. And then that dars of his is going at about 3 hours. Itminan, sukoon, absolutely at peace, and he's teaching that. Now, you don't know whether to say he's a farishta or a man. You know, what type of strength the man has got. So, in the field of education, in the field of jihad, then he was like a revivalist in that respect. Again, he comes the student of the Shaykh ul-Hind Rahmatullahi. Then if you look at the field of hadith, then the superstar in that field was Mawlana Shah Kashmir Rahmatullahi. Again, now, you don't know what type of, whether he's got a memory or it's a library that's walking around. You know, just quoting and quoting kitabs upon kitabs, pages, full. He's giving you the full big breakdown of the kitab. Where it is, which library, and how it's going to be found, whether it is in handwriting or it's printed, everything, last detail is giving it to you. And he may have just seen the kitab once in his life. And then after seeing it once in his life, then he's giving you a proper synopsis of the kitab. The whole Fathul Qadir is about, nowadays about 7 jilds, right? 7 volumes, thick volumes like this. And the whole kitab, he managed to make mutala of the whole kitab in about 20 days. 15 to 20, whole thing. And he made such mutala that after you ask him after 30 years about it, you'll see, all right, this masla is found in Fathul Qadir on this page. Not just a surface, cursory glance. But then you think about what superstars Allah can bless this man here. Each person is a star on his own. Then you look at the field of the tasawuf. Then you see the more Tanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi, can't find an equal in that zamana, can't find in tasawuf and revivalist in that regards, can't find a person like that. If you look at tafsir, you can't find a person like him. Our ulama-i kiram say that as though it is the majmu'ah of the tafsir of the mutaqaddimin. It's a compilation of all the tafsirs of the people of the past. What a grand job. Then again, in tasawuf, you can't find a person like him. After him, you can't find a person like him, finished. It's so difficult to find a person like him at that level. So, in tasawuf, he's like that. He's an imam. Then in tabligh, then you find a person like Mawla Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullahi, again benefiting from Hazrat Shaykh ul-Hind Rahmatullahi Alayh. Then he turns out to be an imam. In his field, in tabligh, and you can't find a person like that to do that type of a job in that short period of a time that can have that type of age. That Jamaat work wasn't just short-lived. He did it, and it lived just for the period that Hazrat Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullahi was alive. But it carried on. He passed away around 1940, and count till now, how many years? 75 years almost. And 75 years after he passed away, and he's still running strong. Now, see the type of stars that he produced, Hazrat Shaykh ul-Hind Rahmatullahi. So there must be something in his life that brought about this type of a life in the works of his students. Hazrat Tanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi is no more, right? He's gone. But isn't he alive through his books? Through his tafsir, through his kitabs, right? And then he asked, and as per his instruction, the kitab, Allah's Sunan, is prepared. that is such like a defense for the Hanafis, such a defense. You can't find an answer to that. You can't find any answer to that kitab. Again, his instruction. Right? Tafsir is a masterpiece. Right? So, Allah Ta'ala blessed him with this type of students, this caliber of students. That each person is a masterpiece in his own department. So there must have been something in his life that created life in that. See, that created life in his works, created life in the works of his student. See, like you see, some work coming up. You know, someone did some dini work, then it lived for some period, then it went away with time. Down the passage of time, it vanished and gone, finished. He vanished, and the work also ended with him. Right? But now, you look at the Muhammad's work, and he's carrying on. Every madrasa, in fact, the universities of the world, they got his kitabs, glorified, respected, read, and appreciated. Right? Then you look at tabligh work, again, it's alive. Man is passed away and gone. 1940 around, 1940 is gone. But more than 75 years he lived, it was alive, and he passed away, and then too it's becoming stronger and stronger and stronger. And the real thing that one looks at is not the life, but the work, right? Right? The work that you have done, and what life it's got. Right? So you see, what a work is left behind. So, the work is left behind, and that thing is alive. So as though the man is alive, he may be dead and gone, but the work of his that he left behind is gone. It's still around. Then you look at hadith, then you see Allama Anwar Shah Kashmir Rahmatullah's students, they flourish in the whole world. Shaykhul Islam Rahmatullah's students, they flourish in the whole world. Wherever you go, and they flourish in the world. Mar Shabir Ahmad Usmani Rahmatullah's tafsir, the whole world has got it. Tafsir Usmani. So there must have been something that was in these people's lives that brought about a life in their works and the works of their students. There must have been something. So when you look at Hazrat Shaykh Ibn Rahmatullah, then there are two things that are very, very prominent in his life. Two things that are very prominent. One is the aspect of sincerity and ikhlas. Very sincere, absolutely sincere. Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali had invited him when he was teaching in Kanpur. And Mawlana says in that invitation letter, he writes that, he says, Ye baat to hogi gustakhi ki, you know. What I'm requesting is maybe a little bit of a disrespect. But you see, the people in Kanpur, they are a little bit of a refined class. When they are a refined class, they just dress up nicely and come. Now, the Shaykh Ulin Rahmatullah should dress up like how Yahya dressed up, you know, lungi, and nobody actually sees them, right? One cloth and one lungi. And one lungi is to have as a spear. So if any cloth got dirty, he will just wash the thing himself and he carries on. And you can't identify as an ordinary person, an alim. The cloth that he was using was very thick and coarse cloth. So imagine if he just washed and put on. They weren't pressing it and all that at that time, like how we are now. Going for a Jummah now. Later on the kurta, even the turban was pressed well. Even after it's coiled and all that, and it must be nice, well pressed, and then it must be displayed. Yeah? So we so particular. He's wearing, one is very coarse cloth, cotton and coarse, and not even pressed. Now, you can imagine how a person will look, how he will look at that. Right. So, it's like a disrespect. But please, just for my sake, you know, these people here are a different kettle of fish. So, you just dress up smart when you come here. Shaykh Hussain Rahman didn't say much, say, Inshallah, teri tumhari baat ka lihaz rakha jayega. Aap tumhari baat ka lihaz rakha jayega. He wore the same clothes when he came. Now they can't identify him. The people in Kanpur, Mawla Taimur was my ustad. You know, Mawla was a very good orator, you see. So because he was a good orator, he drawn all the crowd. So all went to receive him. They received him, they can't make out of who is this person. Simplicity. Right? Very simple. Sincere and simplicity. See how they lived. One person says, I'll come to the story again. One person says that he was a Nawab. Nawab were like the ultra wealthy people in India. Ultra, not wealthy, but the ultra wealthy. So he says that long time I wanted to take bayat at someone's hands. But I looked around, and eventually I thought the best person for me, I don't say the best person around, but the best person for me is Hazrat Sheikh Ibn Abdali. Although the other many mashayikh, so they asked him, but why do you prefer him to others? He says, all are good, all have got time for me. But this person, Shaykh Urindra Rahmatullah Alayh, when I'm around him, then, you know, he feels so uncomfortable with my presence, like as though it's filth that's around, it needs to be washed around. So I thought to myself, that this person has got an aversion for wealth, got an aversion for dunya. And that aversion for dunya is at such a level that he can't even stick my presence. So this is the right person. Because he is totally averse. He is so into the akhirat that this thing, like myself, because I'm so attached to wealth and all that, so he feels so uncomfortable. He feels so uncomfortable naturally. Not that he's making up a show. If we are showing some discomfort to a wealthy person, it's just a show, a display. In the meanwhile, in our hearts we think, hey, if I had that murk also, you know, that 4x4 murk, you know, 1.5 mil job, you know, if I had it, I would be tops. That's how we'll think. But outwardly, we'll show a display of aversion. So this was different. That's why our Buzhuan said that the aversion must be more in the heart, not in the display. Our aversion is more on the display, not within the heart. If you have an aversion for wealth or the people of wealth, must be within our minds. That this person picked it up. Others couldn't pick it up, but he picked it up. Okay? He's got such an aversion. So Shaykh Ibn Rahmatullah came to Kanpur and they requested him to give the talk in the Jalsa now. And Mawlana Taimur says that, you know, the people in Kanpur, they had the impression of the ulama of Dioban that they don't know maqulat, logic, philosophy, mantik and all, they don't know. So if only Mawlana could speak, could just open up, you know. Could just open up and it will impress these people here. So Mawlana started the talk and Allah Ta'ala's will, for some reason, just started off something on mantik. Just started off mantik and philosophy and all that. And he was going at a tremendous speed, like a jet, a supersonic jet just took off. And you know, at the speed that he was moving, the speed, the height, the altitude that he was moving, that was something remarkable. And as though in mid-air he just stopped. He was in mid-air, you know, right at the top and he just stopped. And then he somehow just stopped his talk. Because there was some senior ulama that just pulled into the bayan. When that happened, Mawlana just stopped his talk. So Hazrat Taimur went and complained. That was a real time. You just stopped it. That was a real, real time. You know, these people have, you know, you should have given them a piece of your mind. You know, the level that you were going, it was too much, man. So Mawlana said, yeah, for the same reason I stopped it. Because at that time, the same thoughts began to ring in my mind. Okay, now is the time to impress upon these people. Then I said, where's the element of ikhlas in this talk? There's no element of ikhlas. What's the need? If there was ikhlas, there was a need to carry on. But if it's void of ikhlas, what's the need to continue with this bayan? And just there, like as though in mid-air, you know, it was there, right? In mid-air, and then he stopped. Again, he's giving a bayan. Shaykh Hind Rahmatullah has given ayah bayan. And he quoted a hadith. فَقِيهٌ وَاحِدٌ أَشَدُّ عَلَى الشَّيْطَانِ مِنْ أَلْفِ عَابِدٍ. One faqih. Faqih means a person who's got a sound understanding of deen. Faqih doesn't mean our masail, you know, or kitabu taharat or kitabu al-wuzu and all the masail, and he knows it very well. You know, sort of very sound understanding of deen. So when you talk about fiqh, you talk about ma'rifatun nafsi ma laha wa ma alayha. All aspects related to the self. Whether it is connected to the spiritual self or to the outer, to the physical self. All masail connected to the spiritual self, connected to the physical self. Now, we have misconstrued the word fiqh into just those aspects that relate to the physical self. Things that are visible, things that are physical. Whereas it relates to all, whether it is physical, whether it is spiritual. So now that is the real meaning of fiqh. Because as you're going to be answerable for the physical dimension, then you're going to be answerable equally for the spiritual. In fact, the spiritual becomes even more important. The spiritual thing is, it's even greater, because the first three people that are dispatched to Jahannam on account of what? Of a physical weakness, or is it a spiritual weakness? First three people. See? Spiritual. Because of this spiritual weakness, and three are being dispatched. That person was an alim, but he did everything to show. Or he went to jihad, but for show. Or he was doing charitable work for show. So all these were spiritual weaknesses. And because of spiritual weaknesses, they are being dispatched. So you understand that this dimension becomes, it supersedes the other dimension. Because these are the first three people that are dispatched to Jahannam. Right? So anyway, he was speaking on this hadith, فَقِيهٌ وَاحِدٌ أَشَدُّ عَلَى الشَّيْطَانِ مِنْ أَلْفِ عَابِدٍ. That one faqih, and I just explained what is the meaning of faqih, see. He's more severe upon the shaitan than 1,000 faqihs, than 1,000 worshippers. A worshipper is the one who will call a worshipper. Worshipper, he knows what he must do. Because if he doesn't know what he must do, then he can't be a worshipper. He doesn't know what is the namaz, what invalidates the namaz, and what makes the namaz valid. Can he be a worshipper? He can't be. If he doesn't know what invalidates the wuzu, and what valids it, he can't be an abid. Then the abid will be that person who knows what he is required to do. So, and a faqih is not just the person who knows what he must do, but he is good for himself, and he's good for the multitudes. If he's good for himself, then it's good for the multitudes as well. So, when I was speaking on this hadith, and he translated, he's more severe, you know. So, one old alim that was in that area, Kanpur, he got up, and he says, you're making a wrong translation, so you're unfit, you know. Now, look at it now, it's a big crowd that Maulana is addressing, and this person, and he's objecting. As he's objecting, so Maulana got off the mimbar straight away. He said, yeah, I told these people that you shouldn't get me to talk because I'm unfit. Now see the immediate response, you know. Immediate response in a big, huge gathering. Now you got a jalsa now, Bukhari Sharif jalsa. And one person stands up. And then, what's going to be your response? Become like a tomato, isn't it? Eh? Is it not right? Hey, you know, what's left of me now? I'm finished now. Khalas, my old reputation, my name is gone. Khalas. Now for me to come back, hey, what a tamacha he gave me. I'm gone for good. This is how our minds will work. And what was his response? His response was, I told these people not to put me on because I'm not fit. Why they forced me and they pushed me onto the mimbar? Alright. He didn't end there. Now the Shaykh ibn Rahmatullah then goes to that alim, with all respect, like how you'll go to your ustad, you know. As a student now, I'm asking, to be corrected so that I don't make a repetition of this mistake. You know, I made a mistake now. Now if I don't know the error, then perhaps I will repeat the mistake. You know? So he said, no, your mistake is where you said ashaddu, and you said is more severe. The translation is supposed to be not more severe, it's supposed to be that he's more harmful. Right? Zarar rasa, how will it translate? As more harmful, causing more harm, right? Causing greater harm. So Shaykhun Alhamdulillah says, alright. The Hadith of Jibreel, not the Hadith of Wahi, you know. In the Hadith of Wahi, it comes that Ya'ati ilayya, Ya'ati ilayya al-wahyu, wa huwa ashaddu alayya. Ya'ati ahyanan, Ya'ati ilayya, wa huwa ashaddu alayya. That sometimes the revelation comes to me in this way, and this way here, the same word has been used, ashaddu alayya. Like ashaddu ala shaitan, here was that wahi, and that wahi Nabi Sam is speaking about is ashaddu alayya. Right. So how does it translate there? Would you say it's very severe upon me, or it's causing a lot of harm to me? Obviously you can't say that wahi came to cause a lot of harm to me. It was very severe. So now that Ali went silent, he couldn't say anything. So the whole crowd began to shout him, "By what's wrong with you? You incompetent, this man here, such a competent person. Why stop the takri? Why stop the bayan?" But I look at, once when I look at this, I marvel at several things. One is his honesty, right? His honesty, so sincere he is. One is his simplicity and straightforward, right? Then, the eagerness to understand and to understand ilm correctly, right? If there's a mistake, then I need to know it. I need to know it straight away. He's like as though he's so eager to get it. You know, he's so eager, like how the person that is waiting to make iftar. You know, so how eager he is. When the siren going to go? In India, the siren goes. So when is the siren going to go that I break my roza? He's so eager. So he's so eager to know his mistake. And then when that person was proved wrong, then he didn't reproach him, he didn't reprimand him, nothing. Absolute nothing. Others did, that is of their own, whatever they did. But he didn't take any exception to this wrong correction. See, now this is called kamal, this is called perfection. And when we say follow our kabir, then we're not saying this for no reason. There is some very strong reason that we say follow them, by their safety there, their security there. There's protection there. Whatever they did, there's a lot of good in that. One person is coming in from Allahabad somewhere, I can't remember exactly. He's coming in. So, one Hindu meets up with him, says, "Where are you going to?" "I'm going to Deoband." So the Hindu is a Banya. Now they don't eat meat and all that. So, this Banya is saying, this Muslim alim, that I need some accommodation. I'm also going to Deoband. I need some accommodation. But the food I will arrange myself. The food arrangements I will do myself. But just the accommodation for sleeping the night. No, don't worry, we'll sort you out. We'll arrange something for you. So this alim now is coming in to meet the Mawlana Shaykh Ulina Mawlana for the first time perhaps. Now it's around Zuhar time, Peilula time, just before that. So he knocks at the door and he says, "I'm looking for Mawlana Shaykh Ulina Mawlana." So Shaykh Ulina is there to receive him, but he's dressed very like informally, like how he would. He says, "No, inshallah you'll meet him, rest now, you'll meet him." We got him to rest. But I didn't come to he rested now, then he says that, "I didn't come to rest and sleep here. I came to meet this person here. Just let me meet him. What's wrong with you? What type of khidmat are you doing here?" He doesn't realize who he's talking to. Don't worry. You have your meals and all that. After he settled, he ate, he rested and all that. And he's still insisting, and now he's getting a little bit ghabrat. Getting a little bit emotional. So there isn't a person like Sheikh ul-Hind here, this one Mawli Mahmood here. That's a person. Now that person is perspiring. Okay, I made him do all his work, I shouted him and what I did and what he turned out to be. Now, that Hindu we're talking about, you see, so all got their places to sleep. He's got his charpai to sleep and others got the charpai to sleep as well. Fadmaw Thanga gives a story. Okay, he's got his charpai and he's resting. And he's fast asleep, you know. Khar, khar, khar. He's kharrata le raha hai. Kharrata is snoring, you know. Mawla says, because it was a non-Muslim, Hindu, whatever. Mawla says, what he was saying actually, ana khar, ana khar, ana khar. What is khar? Huh? Yeah, donkey. Yeah, I'm a donkey. So anyway, he's fast asleep and he doesn't know what's going on. And Hazrat Mawla Sheikh ul-Hind Rahmatullah, this alim is saying that, I see someone coming in, and then the Sheikh ul-Hind goes straight for this Hindu, and he goes to press his feet. And that person is anakhar, he's enjoying it, sleeping, and he's fast asleep, and he's pressing his feet. For a good half an hour or so, and he's pressing his feet. So this alim that was accompanying, he broke his sleep, and he sees something happening here. So he sees properly, carefully, he sees the Sheikh ul-Hind and he's pressing the feet of this Hindu. So he got shocked up and he caught up. He said, hey, what are you doing? He said, this is my mehman, you just keep quiet and you rest. It's my mehman. It's my mehman, but it's my guest, it's my duty to extend the hospitality. Now, look at the story in retrospect. When a person comes around, then what type of hospitality do we show? The most we'll do is, initially we'll try and avoid him. Then after that, sometimes if you phone him or something, sorry, you came but I didn't see you. Later on I heard that you were here. Either we'll say that, right? Make up a cover-up story. Or we'll say, what we'll say, we met him in the masjid, you sure you finished it? You sure you finished it? So now, what the person is going to say? Yeah, I finished. No, all the arrangements are made. He'll feel embarrassed now because the way you carried yourself. So he said, no, you know, don't worry, everything's been arranged. And now these people were such, okay, let alone a Muslim, even a non-Muslim. And when there was a need to extend some hospitality, and then not only the sleeping, but this type of a khidmat, this type of a service that we won't do for our own, even did for someone else. See? So when Allah Ta'ala blesses someone, there must be some reason why Allah Ta'ala blesses the person. It's not without reason. See the sincerity, the simplicity, the type of service that he provides, right? The nothingness within himself. So when Allah Ta'ala makes someone ilm ka gutla, you know, embodiment, a personification, embodiment of ilm, it wasn't just like that. There must have been some serious reasons, some very, very great reasons that Allah Ta'ala made him like that. They are both traveling at Mount Hamad, and Sheikh ul-Hind Rahmatullah are traveling, they stopped over at one spot. So they asked that the townspeople had invited both of them. But Sheikh ul-Hind Rahmatullah accepted the invitation, and they asked the Mawla Thanga also to accept the invitation. I said, I'm not feeling too well, and further, it's not my tabiat, you know, it's against my temperament that if I didn't deliver a talk, I didn't do anything, then I accepted da'wat, you know. If I delivered a talk or something, then I delivered a talk, then it's alright, but I didn't do anything, and then I'm accepting a da'wat, then I don't feel comfortable. So the Sheikh ul-Hind Rahmatullah is the Ustad. So he says, "Haan, hum hi log hai jo muft khane wale hai. We are the ones that we eat just for free, you know. Don't do anything, just eat." So if I, Mawla says that if I ever felt embarrassed, then I felt embarrassed that day. So my Ustad, I can't say anything, and you know, The world was so magnificent that I couldn't say anything. But you see the humility, respect, self-annihilation. We talk about these people, why? Because I say we must emulate them, must follow them. Today I was reading the Malfuzat one more time, right? Says even this ilm, without you associating, with the Ahlullah, then this ilm is of no good. You don't get the real flavor, you don't get the real understanding, you don't get the correct, the correct spirit of ilm. You may get the wording, but the spirit of it, the understanding, the depths, the flavor of ilm, you can't get it. So you will use that ilm and you may misuse that ilm. So that understanding the truth, the haqiqat of it comes just with these people here. Now look at his life, and look at his life, and just think for a moment, if you were in that circumstance, how would you have conducted yourself? Anywhere near. Would you have been featuring anywhere near them? Totally, you would have been world apart. So that is why they say, you have to have the association to get the right shape, right dimension, right flavor, right understanding. Otherwise, if you don't have the flavor, who's going to buy you? Right? You don't have the flavor. You try to experiment making Coke yourself, right? And ended up in a cough mixture. Anyone will buy it? Nobody's going to buy it. You use the same ingredients perhaps, but you didn't know how, you didn't know the shape and all that. So you got the ingredients, but in the right proportions, the right way, right style. Now you got the flavor. When you got the flavor, now people are going to buy. So that ilm of yours is only going to be bought if you're going to have this type of a flavor. But you don't have that flavor. You have the ingredients, but you don't have this flavor. Then people are not interested. Allah Pak is not interested. And people are not interested. Allah Pak is not interested because you got ilm. But you don't have the dimension of sincerity. You don't have simplicity. You don't have the truth and honesty in you. People are not also happy. Not, because they don't see the flavor. But ilm requires a certain type of a gloss. It requires a certain type of a taste. We don't see it in this person. So people are not happy with you. Allah Pak is not happy. What's the good of this? Mawlana recites that khutbah, you know, and he talks about, quotes Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. Yeah? What was that wording? Fi adabul qawm or something. Yeah? That after you have acquired the basic ilm, then get into this. Purifying the soul, association of the righteous. What was the wording? Remember? Afterwards, when you remember. So, why does Imam Abu Hanifa, a king of knowledge, king, Madinatul Ilm, as though he's like a Madinatul Ilm, right? But why does he say that? You need to get this. Because you don't have that color, you don't have the texture, you don't have the flavor, you don't have the taste. But rejected upstairs, rejected here as well. Both ways, no acceptance. This side, no acceptance. The world also, no acceptance. Allah Tawfiq.